I'm Scott Owen with the Asheville FM News Team, and I am lucky to have Chris Winslow in the studio with me today to talk about his candidacy for the Buncombe County Sheriff. Welcome, Chris.
Well, thank you for having me in here this morning. I appreciate it.
Well, I hope you're doing well.
I'm doing fine.
All right. We're going to ask a few questions just about yourself. We'd like to know, first of all, how long have you lived in Buncombe County?
I am a native of Buncombe County. I was born here, lived at a lot of home for children for 3 years. Then wound up moving to Goldsboro for 3 years with my parents, then moved back to Swannanoa and graduated from Charles D. Owen. Left and spent 3 years in the military, came back to Buncombe County, and I've lived here ever since.
All right. What branch of the military were you?
I was with the U.S. Army and the 82nd Airborne. I was a field artillery surveyor and a jumper, paratrooper with the Airborne.
Whoa, that must have been exciting. So let me ask you, Chris, why did you decide to run for sheriff?
There needs to be a change in Buncombe County. The sheriff's department has gotten away from helping people in the county like they should. Our patrol officers are constantly under demand to reduce the calls that they receive, to reduce the time from being dispatched to answering a call. And it's reflective in their stats, but what's happening is they're getting away from the one-on-one contact with people. You have victims of break-ins. The patrol officers are calling them on the phone. They're not going and seeing them. They're not talking to them. So when you leave that one-on-one out, you're missing out on people in the community, making that contact with people in the community, listening to their concerns. As you know, when your home's broken into, you go through a wide range of emotions, from being scared to being afraid, are they coming back, to being, well, they know what I have and they're going to come back. And if you don't have an opportunity to express those concerns, then you can't help people in the community, and we have a drug issue, we have domestic violence issues we need to address. So there's a whole lot of things that needs to change.
And how would you change that? Would that be like employing more officers? Or
no, actually, the sheriff's department is top heavy. You got too many people that's being overpaid. You got a lot of people that's in the upper echelon that you could reduce and reorganize and put more people out on patrol. Our drug unit has, in the past 3 years, has gone through 6 supervisors. And when you have 6 supervisors in a specialized unit like that, and 2 of them never worked in a drug capacity before, you're not doing a good service to the people in the community. Not when last year there was over 1,075 overdoses in our county. So we need to change things like that within the sheriff's department.
What particular issues would you like to highlight in your campaign?
Well, naturally, the drug issue. In 2015, the county looked at 535 overdoses. In 2016, went up to 735. Last year, like I said, it was 1,075. So in 2 years, our overdoses have doubled. And with an ineffective drug unit, it's no wonder that people are overdosing. We're not doing anything to get the drugs off the street. And also, there's a national program out here. It's called PARI, where it was started in Massachusetts. It's in now 350 law enforcement organizations. It's here in a couple of places in North Carolina, where the sheriff's department will open their door to our drug addicts and say, if you want help, come into the sheriff's office, and we'll take you to where you need help. We'll help find a bed that you can go to, a facility that you can go to, regardless where it's at, if it's here in Asheville or if it's in Raleigh or wherever. Just come in, let us help you. And then we can take you to that facility. So when you start helping our drug addicts, then you're going to reduce other crimes, because it's shown that it's reduced break-ins, it's reduced robberies, it's reduced domestic violence. So we need to get in to start helping those people. And then we have our domestic violence survivors who are not being treated the way they should be. A patrol officer will go to a domestic violence call and tell the victim to go seek warrants, with the suspect standing there, and on many times, the suspect will go to the magistrate's office, make themselves out to be the victim, and then the true victim's being arrested. We're not looking after our domestic violence people that way. We need to offer them counseling. We need to go offer them rides to the magistrate's office if they want to get warrants. Or the patrol officer needs to go do it themselves. because it's part of this, we need to answer calls, and it's gotten away from that human contact. It's gotten away from caring for our victims. But we also need to look after our domestic violence victims in accompanying them to court, because many times people get attacked on their way to court by family members. They go through a barrage of insults and, you know, they're jumped on. Why are you doing this to this person when they didn't do anything? You're lying. So we need to accompany our domestic violence victims to court, stay with them in court, and then accompany them out of the courtroom just for their safety. But we need to contact our domestic violence victims every week. Somebody needs to call and say, hey, are you all right? Do you need anything? Or are you being harassed? And then once the court is over with, stay in contact with them for a certain period of time just to make sure they're still doing all right. So we need to really get back to looking after our victims in the county that's they're not being looked at. And it's not only female domestic violence. It's a small percentage is male. And then we have people in same-sex relationships that go through the exact same thing, whether it's, you know, a male relationship or a female. So they're just as important as anybody else.
It sounds to me like what you're saying, what I'm hearing from you is that you want to get the sheriffs to where they're dealing directly with the people in more helpful ways. Is that something that would change in policy? Is there policy that keeps that from happening, or is that just leadership?
There's no policy in that. It's become over the years the leadership in reducing the calls and reducing the time responding to calls. Because when you take a patrol officer out of the human factor, when you own them about let's reduce calls, the time for calls, you remove that human touch. You remove the things that they should be doing. So it's not a policy. It's been kind of one of those things that officers are put in that position to where you need to speed up, you need to answer that call so you can answer the next call. So it's something that over the years has gone on under leadership, and that needs to change.
So you think it's kind of a cultural thing?
Yes, it is.
More than a policy factor?
Yes.
I'm going to ask you a few specific questions about some things I think might be interesting to our audience. The mayor recently noted last year on the campaign trail that no city in North Carolina is a sanctuary city because the counties run the jails. Would you support Buncombe being named a sanctuary county? And to what extent would your office work with ICE?
Well, I don't believe in that. There's a North Carolina state law that says no city or entity in Buncombe can, or in the state can be a sanctuary city. It's state law. I don't believe in supporting a 280G program that Department of Homeland Security has in dealing with the immigrants. It's not our job. The Sheriff's Department's job is to serve and protect all communities, regardless of who you are, whether you're here, you know, legally or illegally. Our job is to help the people in the county. So currently, there's paperwork that Homeland Security gets and looks at on immigrants. It's a county policy that if somebody is in the detention center for court reasons, but once that court is dealt with, then they have 48 hours to come pick them up. I like to see that 48 hours reduced, because once you're done in court, it's not our job to hold anybody. I don't think it's the county's responsibility spending taxpayers' money to hold somebody for that length of time when their court date's already come and gone. And anybody else would automatically be released. I understand they put detainers on, and there may be other issues that has to be looked at, but I don't support that program at all.
Another question for you here. Do you believe there is a trust issue with law enforcement and people that are in communities of color, and that would include our Latinos? If so, how do you plan to build trust?
I think there's a huge trust. If you look over the years...
That there's a lot of trust that exists?
That there's a lot... I mean, not trust, but there's a huge interest.
Right.
If you look at law enforcement and the public as a whole, over the last 5 to 10 years, the gap has widened between the communities, and nobody's going out into these communities trying to improve that. I think we need to get back to getting out of our cars and walking the streets and going into neighborhoods and saying hello. There's a lot of trust that can be built by just simply saying, hello, how you doing? And people are not going to automatically trust law enforcement because that distrust has been there for years. So if something happened in their community and we wanted to go out and try to investigate it, there's people who will not talk to law enforcement because of that distrust. So the only way you can gain that trust is just simply getting out of your car and saying, hello, how are you? And we've got to start there to start building that trust back. If we don't start doing that, then that distrust is going to just keep widening and widening. And we see things, you know, that's happened nationally. We're going to be seeing things like that here.
Thank you. The Open Data Policing website that tracks all traffic stops in North Carolina indicates definitive and clear racial profiling across all counties in the state. As sheriff, what are your plans to address that issue?
Well, to be able to address this issue, you first of all have to admit there is a problem. Racial profiling exists in this country. It exists in law enforcement. I've seen it. I've seen it here in the county. I've called people out about it here in the county. I've seen deputies do it, and I've heard them talk, and I've called them out in that. So first of all, we've got to admit there's a problem. So what I've already got in place, I've already talked to somebody who teaches racial equality to come into the sheriff's office to teach that class, not just the patrol office, but everybody from the detention center all the way through the sheriff's office. But then I'd like to take that one step forward further. Why can't we have people from our communities, just regular citizens, come in and ride with a patrol officer for a shift? Let that person see what a patrol officer goes through so they can understand the law enforcement side. But then while they're in the car with them, have that conversation of one-on-one and say, you know, when you follow us, people in my community, or you follow me the way you're following this person, this is what I go through. This is what we feel. This is, you know, the fear that we have in our community. And have that one-on-one conversation. Until we start having people come in and ride with our patrol officers and have that one-on-one, patrol officers are not going to understand what they're going through, because you could read everything on a computer. You can go to all these classes that everybody talks about, saying we send our people to these classes. You can talk about that all day long. But until you get people pinned up in a car like one-on-one, and not have shouting matches or screaming or anything, but just normal conversations like we're having,
right,
you're not going to change anything. Because I worked with an African-American female for 3 years with ATF who told me her experience being pulled over by a trooper in another state that was totally racial profiling.
Right.
And she went through the process before she identified herself as to who she was. And then he turned her loose. So it exists. Let's quit saying it don't. Let's just say it exists. Now, how are we as law enforcement and people in the community, how are we going to fix it? Because we do have that problem. And, you know, you can keep your head buried in the sand and say it don't, or my agency don't do this. But until you've stood there and you've listened to the conversations and you've corrected people, you're going to continue saying that. So let's address it.
Well, thank you for that answer. In your opinion, this question is very much the same, and maybe you've already answered. In your opinion, what are the most effective forms of accountability regarding racial equity within the Buncombe County Sheriff's Office?
Well, I think it goes again to having people coming in, having that conversation. But I think when you look at law enforcement as a whole, and even the National Police Department has gone out and tried to recruit different people from the different communities, and they're not having a whole lot of success at it, it's because of the culture that's out there now. I feel like once we start improving that relationship, then we're going to start having people who will actually want to come into law enforcement, people from the different communities. But when you look at the sheriff's office, the last female at the sheriff's office that was a lieutenant, and once she retired, they've not promoted anybody above the rank of a sergeant. None. There's no females in any authority at all. There's no African-American males in any authority. There's no Hispanics in any authority. So we've got to start improving that relationship so the people will want to come in and work at the sheriff's office. And you just can't go in and fire everybody to do that. You've got to do it through nutrition. when people leave, you've got to get these people in. Because people's got to have a job. They got to support their family. But I do believe a change needs to be made. And there's people that's going to leave the sheriff's office, regardless of who wins. So you bring people in then. You bring people into your command staff that are from those communities, that are professional law enforcement officers, that can not only show professionalism and integrity, but also show people in their communities that, yes, you can have a job, and it is a good job. But we've got to improve a lot of those relationships to even get people who want to come into law enforcement.
So at the end of your first term as the Buncombe County Sheriff, what do you think would be different with the relationship between law enforcement and communities of color? Do you think you could make a difference there?
Oh, yeah. I think I can make a huge difference in there. And just starting out by building trust. And there's committees at the sheriff's office that looks at grievances. They look at people, you know, it's been complaints and those type of committees. But they're usually friends, supporters of the sheriff. That needs to be rotated. We need to have people that are biased, that has no contact or with anybody in the sheriff's office. They're not friends, not supporters, just good people who wants to come in and do the oversight on some of these things, because you're not changing things by having your friends sitting on a committee, because they're going to do what you want to do. So you got to have people that are biased and impartial. It's just like promotional or hiring. The sheriff needs to learn to remove himself from that and let people that he appoints do those things. So I hope in 4 years after that, we've grown thousands of light years ahead. You know, we've taken that step and we're improving that relationship to where the second term, you're just continually building on what you're doing and improving those relationships.
Right. Moving on, do you support the construction of the new Buncombe County Jail?
No, I don't, because currently there's a lot of federal inmates at the jail that the county's making money off of. And if you need room in the county jail to handle what we've got to, we don't need to be housing federal inmates. There's room to be housing the people that we need to house. But we need to also look at the DA's office, the court system, and the master system. People are put on bond to ensure that they come back to court. That's what a bond system's for.
Right.
But when you put somebody under a $200 bond or a $300 bond, what's the point in keeping them in jail? There's got to be a way between the sheriff's office and the court system say, you know, if you're going to put somebody under a $500 bond, you know, making it an unsecure bond, you know good and well these people cannot afford $500 or go through a bondsman to get out. So why keep them in the facility when they've got a job, they're trying to feed their families, and they're living from paycheck to paycheck?
Right.
They can't afford to be putting bond up. So there's got to be a way of letting these people get an unsecure bond and letting them out. You know, you don't want murderers or rapists, people like that on there, but you hold people in jail for a tag violation or driving while impaired. You're keeping them in jail for weeks, and they're in there and they've lost their job.
Right.
Then how are they going to support the family because they've been held in jail?
Mm-hmm.
There's something has to be worked out on a range like that.
Would you support a wider crisis intervention team, some training for police officers to handle mental health concerns, and with de-escalation versus use of force tactics?
The Sheriff's Department, about 11 years ago, started a CIT program and started sending officers through that. So they've been doing it for a while, and it's a good program. They have a team that goes out and to help with negotiations for somebody that's being barricaded or a hostage situation or anything like that. There's a CIT team with the Sheriff's Department that goes out and does things like that. So I'm all for every officer going through a CIT program because you learn how to deal with people. A lot of officers, they go through BLET, and then
what's
they're
that?
Trained.
BLET?
Basic law enforcement training. And they learn to deal with people in a certain way. and then when they get out, that mindset is still in place. So once you go through a CIT training, de-escalation training, then you can change that mindset on how they treat people. And the Sheriff's Department's done a good job about training people in the CIT. And de-escalation, I've been doing that for years, just simply talking to people in a calm voice and treating and respecting them. Because that's where a lot of problem comes in. You don't respect people you deal with, right, regardless what it is. You know, we're all human beings,
mm-hmm,
and we all want to be treated like human beings. We don't want to be shouted at or screamed at. I learned early in my career that that don't work. So we got to respect each other, regardless.
Recently, U.S. Attorney General Jeff Sessions said the sheriff is a critical part of the Anglo-American heritage of law enforcement. He said this to the National Sheriff's Association in Washington, D.C. Do you agree with Sessions' statement?
Well, you have to look at what he was saying. He was referring to the history of the sheriffs enforcing the laws. The Anglo-American part of that is a law term that every lawyer learns in his first year in law school. And even President Obama said it in several of his speeches. He referred to the Anglo-American because he was an attorney and he learned it. And that just refers back to over 700 years ago in England, where they were talking about writs and different things in their law that that we adopted here in the United States and Canada. It all came from England. And then when you look at sheriff, the word sheriff, it comes from England also. So he's just referring to the history of the sheriffs enforcing the laws. He just chose to use the word Anglo-American that a lot of people refer to as being a racist comment, when it's actually a law that our U.S. Supreme Court judges has used in some of their rulings. So it might have been a poor choice of words for, you know, what he said, but when you look at the history of it, I don't think it was racist, unless people want to say, you know, President Obama was also a racist when he said it in some of his speeches.
All right. And what else would you like people to know about your candidacy? Is there something we've missed?
Well, I've got an associate's degree in criminal justice. I have a bachelor's degree in criminal justice from Western Carolina. I've been trained in the drug field through DEA. So I've got a lot of training in that area. I was the last gang investigator for the sheriff's office. There's not been one up there in the last probably 5 years. When I was assigned to break-ins, I carried the highest arrest rate working at the sheriff's office for working break-ins. And I think it's just time for the sheriff's office to get back to what it's supposed to be doing. When you look at what we're supposed to be doing, we're supposed to be serving and protecting. And we need to get back to the serving part. We need to look after the people in our county. And we need to start showing a more human element to the sheriff's office instead of, you know, I'm just here to answer a call, I'm leaving. We need to allow our patrol officers the time to get out of the cars, go into stores like in Jupiter out at Red Oak Cross and Barnardsville, Pisgah Highway, and just going inside and saying hello and stopping at a Little League ball game or softball game and just getting out of the car and saying hello, how you doing? My favorite thing when I was on the road, I'd stop and talk to somebody gardening. I'd just get out and say, hey, how you doing? And build that conversation. What are you planting? What do you do? And you're building that relationship with people in the community that's missing. We need to get back to doing what the Sheriff's Department is supposed to be doing, is protecting the people in our county, and we need to get back to that. It seems to have been forgotten.
Well, thank you for joining me today. I'm speaking with Chris Winslow, and Chris is running for the Office of Sheriff here in Buncombe County. And Chris, how can people find out more about your campaign? Is there a website or something you have?
Yeah, I have Facebook, Chris Winslow for Sheriff, and I have a website, Winslow for Sheriff. Everything's on there. My bio's in there. I'm posted not pictures of where I've been, people I've talked to. I'm actually posting concerns for that people in the county have. I'm addressing issues. So if you want to see where I stand on a lot of the issues, I've posted those issues and addressed domestic violence, animal abuse, I've addressed it, and the drug issues. So go to my Facebook page and my website, and you can actually see why I've addressed a lot of these issues that other candidates don't seem to be addressing on theirs.
All right, Chris Winslow, candidate for Buncombe County Sheriff, thank you so much for joining us here today at Asheville FM.